turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning? Amen. Boy, the world is everywhere else. And here we are in the house of God, worshiping God, letting our hearts be turned once again to Him in the midst of a busy life, right? Life that's filled with so many things. And yet, we just want to get our hearts turned back to Him once again. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, "Fear thou not, fear thou not." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. And Lord, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would take the very words of God and speak to our hearts this morning. So important, these three words, "fear thou not." Strengthen our faith, strengthen our heart, strengthen our life as we trust in thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Once again, the prophet of old, Isaiah, sits down with a pen and writes upon the pages of Scripture the words that the Holy Spirit of God has given him. Three simple words and yet so important, "fear thou not." How many times across the pages of the Bible have we read those words, "fear thou not"? "Be not afraid, let not your heart be troubled, I will not fear." And over again they're written. And here in the book of Isaiah, once again, it's given to us once again, "fear thou not." In the midst of his personal conflicts that everyone faces, in the midst of the conflict that is facing Israel, Isaiah sits down and writes the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is a book that wonderfully written, of course, because it's written by the Spirit of God, but a book that points us to one person, Jesus Christ. So many prophecies in the book of Isaiah that point to Jesus Christ. And the purpose is, as the same as is given to us in Hebrews chapter 12, that as we run with patience, this race that is set before us, we would look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And as Isaiah writes this book that speaks so much about the person of Jesus Christ, gives us those wonderful prophecies about the person of Jesus Christ. The theme of Isaiah is found in Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 2. As it points to Jesus Christ, it's a theme that gives us hope and confidence in this life in which we face. It's a theme which gives us strength in our heart and soul as we go through the circumstances that we face every day. In Isaiah chapter 12, the Bible says this, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." I don't think it's anybody has any wonder or question why we need to be reminded over and over again, "Be not afraid. Just fear thou not." Because we wake up every morning and we open our eyes and guess what? Life is there once again, isn't it? We walk out the door and the challenges and the complexities and the circumstances of life are just right in front of us once again. You know, we go to sleep and we say, "Boy, I just wish tomorrow would wake up and everything would be done." And it isn't, is it? Right? We still got our health problems. We still got our financial problems. We still got our marital problems. We still got our personal problems. We still got our work problems. We still got our church problems. We still got our society problems. They're all right there again this morning. And yet beyond all of that, there is a God in heaven in whom we trust. And Isaiah writes once again, as the pages of Scripture over and over and over again tell us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Fear thou not." You know, 700 years later, the book of Hebrews would be written once again. And Hebrews once again would point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, in the book of Hebrews, God would not tell us exactly who it was or specifically who it was that wrote the book of Hebrews. For God wants us not to think about the man that was used of God to pen the Scriptures. He wants us to think that the words and know that the words that are written in the book of Hebrews come directly from the mouth of God. And yet in the middle of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, we have a report written by God, not written by men, but written by God. It's a testimony, it's a record. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the hall of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in the beginning, in verse number 2, it says in the end, in the last verses, it says, by their faith in God, by their walk in faith, by their trusting in God, the elders obtained a good report. And we read of men like Abraham. We read of men like Moses. We read of men like Gideon and Barak. And then we come down in Hebrews chapter 11, to a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, and it simply says this. It simply says this in Hebrews 11 and verse number 37, they were stoned, and then it says this, they were sawn asunder. And it speaks about how people were in those days when they were persecuted for their faith, that some of them were stoned and some of them were actually put in hollowed out logs, and they would take a saw and they would saw through the body of that person that was alive. And when Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of people that were sawn asunder, the historians write that it was most likely the testimony of Isaiah. That most likely it was a testimony of how this man that back in Isaiah chapter 12 said, I trust in God. Back in Isaiah 41, said in verse number 10, says, fear thou not. That this man of faith had finally won the victory in life. As they had brutally taken his life, he won the victory and would stand before the God in whom he trusted. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, for this is our victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a list, there's a record of all these saints of old, these saints that have crossed the pages of the Bible and stood by faith and obtained a good report from God of their faith that won them the victory. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are so compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. And you can think as Isaiah would stand, and he would stand and say, fear thou not. If Isaiah were to stand before us this morning and open up the pages of Scripture and read that verse that he wrote so many years ago, fear thou not. I can just hear, if we were to look around and if just imagine for a moment what it would be like if the seats around you that are empty, if you could see beyond the earthly realm and we could see into the glories of heaven and we could see the saints of old that have crossed the threshold into the glories of heaven, that as Isaiah would say, fear thou not. Oh, Daniel would stand up and say, yeah, that's right. You don't need to be afraid. He says, I could remember the day that I stood there before King Nebuchadnezzar and all his astrologers and all his soothsayers and all his magicians couldn't interpret his dream. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, Daniel, if you can't interpret my dream, you're going to die. And Daniel would stand up in chapter 2. And in the face of all that conflict, in the face when men would fear a man, Daniel would say these words, but there is a God in heaven. And when you remember that, when you know that, that there is a God in heaven, oh, the fear quickly just runs away from your heart and your soul. And Daniel would say, but there is a God in heaven. And over here, maybe David would stand up. And David would stand up. He's sitting right there in the second row in front of Doug Giddy. David would stand up and say, yeah, I remember the day when I stood before Goliath and all my brothers and all the army of Israel was greatly afraid. And they stood over there way across the way. And they stood there and they feared and their knees trembled and their hearts trembled. And I stood before Goliath and I said, I'm not going to be afraid because the Lord my God will deliver you into my hand because the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. And he would pick up that stone out of his little bag and he would put it in a sling. And you know, we think about how David put that stone in that sling. And we can imagine how David would take that sling. But my friend, it wasn't the hand of Daniel or David that slew Goliath that day. It was the hand of God that stretched out the heavens. It was the hand of God that would part the Red Sea. It was the hand of God that would take that little stone out of a sling that was made by a man and take that stone and with all the force of Almighty God, take that stone and carry it across that space and bam, right in the head of Goliath. And you know, Goliath didn't have any options at that point. The only option he had was to fall down and die by the mighty hand of God. And I can see Daniel standing up over here and saying, but there's a God in heaven. I can see David over here saying, the battle is the Lord's. I can see the disciples sitting right in the front row. Right in the front row. And they would stand up and they would say, yes, you don't need to be afraid. Oh, we were afraid one night. We were in a boat. Grown men in a boat. We got in that boat and the Lord Jesus Christ had told us, he says, we're going to go to the other side. We're going to get in that boat and we're going to go to the other side. And all of a sudden a storm arose, just like the storms arise in your life, just like the storms arise in my life, just like the storms that face us that cause us to fear and tremble and quake as we look at the circumstances around us, whether it's Israel in the wilderness, whether it's David before a Goliath, whether it's men before a fiery furnace, whether it's these disciples in the boat. And they said, we are afraid. And we looked, Jesus is asleep in the boat. In fact, we said to Jesus, we woke him up and we said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he said, you remember what he said? He said, why are you so fearful? And he stood up that night in the middle of that storm, raised his hand, the same hand that created this heaven and earth, and said, peace be still. And all was calm. Oh, my friend, God knows our heart. God knows the frailty of our flesh. God knows our emotions. He knows the weakness of every one of us. And he knows the circumstances that we face. He knows the situation. He knows what's going on in your home. He knows what's going in your life. He knows what's going on in your physical body. He knows everything about everything. And he says to us this morning, Fear thou not. Let not your heart be troubled. Be anxious in nothing. Fear not. Fret not. Over and over again. Because he wants us to trust him. And yet this morning is in Isaiah chapter 41. We read those three words. Friends, it's not just a simple slogan. It's not just like that little plaque that my daughter so wonderfully gave me on my birthday this year that said, just breathe. Got that hanging on the door. Just breathe. You know, so many times someone will say some little statement, some little catchphrase. Folks, this isn't some catchphrase written by men. This is the words of God. This is God speaking to you and God speaking to me. And he says, you don't have to fear today. You don't have to be afraid today. Even when we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. He says, you don't have to fear. But those little phrases, just breathe, just stops at that. No reason why. No how to breathe. Just breathe. And you know, sometimes we read these words in the Bible. We read, fear thou not. We don't stop and ponder and think about what else is said beyond it. Because in Isaiah chapter 41, Isaiah doesn't just say, fear thou not. But in Isaiah 41, God gives us five reasons why we don't have to fear. Five truths from the voice of God through this man of God. On the pages of God's word this morning that say, you don't have to fear. Five reasons why we don't have to fear. And when you take these five reasons, when you sit down and you're overwhelmed, when you're facing a situation that is right in front of you, and all of a sudden your heart begins to tremble, and all of a sudden your mind begins to scramble, back to these five reasons, and you say, you're right, Isaiah. You're right, Daniel. You're right, David. You're right, John and Peter and James. You're right. I don't have to fear. Fear thou not. Why? Listen, there's no No homiletics in this message. No points, no P's, no Q's, no R's. There's just five things that God says. Five reasons I don't have to fear. Look at number one. Fear thou not. Why? Here's number one. Okay, number one. You got that? Number one. That's point number one. Just put a one on your paper. Here's number one. Look at this. Fear thou not. Why? Because God says, I am with you. And boy, I like the way it's put on the pages of Scripture. He does not say, fear not, for I will be with you. He does not say, fear not, for I may be with you. He says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Right now. You don't have to be afraid, because if you're a child of God, walking with God, trusting God, living by faith, God says, I am with you. I am with you right now. He says, I'm with you. Fear not, for I am with thee. Think of what that meant. Think of what that meant to all the saints of God. Think about that meant to three men who would share the testimony of how they had seen the reality of this very truth that God said, the Lord said, I am with you. Three men. And by the way, not Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It's not their names. They would say, don't call me that. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Right? That's their names. That's their names that reminded them of God. That's their names that pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would say, listen, we know what this means. Fear thou not, I'm with thee. Because one day we stood there before the king. Oh, and he was so filled with rage. He was so filled with fury. He was so mad that he commanded the strongest of soldiers to take us and bind us with cords and throw us in a furnace that he had turned up the thermostat seven times. They threw us down in that furnace. The soldiers died. And he cast us into that furnace. And they said, you know what? That verse in Isaiah, it rang true. It proved true. Because when we were in that furnace, the flames didn't hurt us. We didn't smell of smoke. In fact, the only thing the flames did was burn those ropes off of our wrists. And we stood there alive in that furnace. But we weren't alone. Because there was someone else with us. There was someone else with us. And that person was a person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he was with us. He was with us. Hey, folks, listen to me. God doesn't say you're not going to have storms in your life. God doesn't say you're not going to have a life free from sickness or free from problems or free from circumstances that could trouble you. What he does say is when you walk through those waters, when you walk through those fires, when you face those problems, when you face those circumstances, you can be assured of this, that you will not be alone, but I am with you. And that's the promise of God. That's the person of God. That's the reality of a walk of faith that we don't have to fear. Because right now, as I stand here before you, God says, Pastor, don't be afraid of their faces. I am with you. Wow. Tell you what. Boy, the fear just starts to fade away, doesn't it? When I know that God is with me, I need not fear. But that's only the first one. Man, there's four more. That's only the beginning. You say, how could it get better? Oh, it does. It does. It does. Because there's a lot of times people are with us, but what can they do? Who are they? What can they do? You know? But number one, he says, I'm with you. Number two, check this out. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And all of a sudden it gets personal. All of a sudden it gets real personal. For I am thy God. Or as Isaiah writes this, the nations around him, the people around him. In fact, even many of the people of Israel had turned away from God. And many people were placing their faith and their trust in things that their own hands have made. Just like you and I sometimes do. Instead of trusting in God, we trust in what we have built, what we have made. We trust in what we have done. God says all that faith in the things that you have done, the things that you have made, the things that you have thought up, the things that you have planned. He says, no, your faith must be in me, for I am thy God. I am thy God. Oh, we could spend so much time right here. For I, who? God, the eternal God, the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, the God that sits upon the throne far above all that's going on down here. And by the way, he's still in control. He's in control of everything, including my life. And he says, I'm not just God, but because you've placed your faith in my Son, Jesus Christ, your Savior, I am your God. He is my God. He is my Father. The God that created heaven and earth. The God that split the Red Sea. The God that raised his Son Jesus Christ from the grave is my God. The Apostle Paul would stand one day on a ship in the book of Acts. Grown men were fearing for their lives. They stood in this boat. The storm is raging. They hadn't seen the sun for 3 days. They'd done everything in their power to make themselves safe. They've cast everything off the ship. They've done every trick in the book. They've done everything that the handbook has said about how to sail and survive. If they had had a computer, they'd been on Google trying to figure it out. They're afraid. They're fearing for their lives. And all of a sudden, this one man stands up. It's got to be one of the greatest passages of Scripture. I love it. Paul stands up and he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What are you, nuts? Are you crazy? We're going down with the ship. What do you mean, be of good cheer? You know what he said? Here's his reason, folks. Wasn't because he was smart. Wasn't because he was strong. Wasn't because the ship was unsinkable. He says, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be as he has told me. Simple. Simple. He says, I don't have to be afraid. Because my faith is in my God. He says, I believe God. So number two, why don't we need to be afraid? Number one, the Lord says, I'm with you. Right now, I'm with you. Right now, I'm with you. Number two, because he says, I am your God. I am your God. Tell you what, that beats it all, doesn't it? Right? I mean, that just surpasses it all. God is my God. And he says, I can call him my Father. And I can trust him. And my life is in his hands. Well, it gets better. You say, how can it get better? Well, look at number three. Number one, I am with thee. Number two, I am thy God. Number three, I will strengthen thee. Oh, right in the middle, how precious is this? Right in the middle, right there in the middle. I will strengthen thee. You mean, is he going to give me physical strength? I don't think it means physical strength. I don't think that's what he's talking about. It's more than that. More than that. Because when we face the challenges of life, it's not physical strength that's going to get us through. It's spiritual strength. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I think at this point, there'd be another man that would stand up. Another man, a great man of God. A man that had stood and faced kings. A man that had stood and faced armies. A man that stood there one day. His name is Elijah. And one day he stood there and he looked at this captain of the army with his 50 men. And he said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down and consumed those 50 men. And yet there came a day in the life of this great man of God, Elijah, a man of great faith, a man of great character. There came a day in Elijah's life when he was at the lowest point in his life because he was afraid. And he went out into the desert, laid down next to a juniper tree, and requested of God that he would die. In that moment of desperation in his heart and his soul, in his mind, he laid down and he said, Lord, I've had enough. Can't take it anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I can't face today. I can't face tomorrow. The problems are too big. The enemy is too big. It's overwhelming my soul. Lord, it's enough. Let me just die. Isaiah says, I will strengthen thee. He wasn't strengthened by his intellect. He wasn't strengthened by his mind. But the Lord God, in the process of time, brought him up from that place. Brought him up to the top of a mountain. And with a still, small voice of God, strengthen the soul of that man so he could rise up from the lowest point in his life, go down and continue to walk by faith the rest of his life until God would take him home. And God says, you don't need to fear this morning. You don't need to be afraid this morning. For number one, I am with you. Number two, I am your God. Number three, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee in here, in your faith, in your very soul, so that you can walk by faith and live by faith and a victory through faith. But it gets better. It gets better, folks. Check it out. Hey, we haven't stopped. That's only number three. That's only number three. He says, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen thee. And then he says this, I will help you. Wow. I will help you. I will help thee. Boy, I tell you what. You know, it baffles me in my own life, and it should baffle you in your life. Why, when we face problems, do we immediately look for earthly help? Why do we run to the telephone? Why do we run to the internet? Why do we run to the text message? Why don't we run to God? Why don't we fall on our face and say, Lord, help me. You've promised to help me. You've said you will help me. Your word gives me the truth and the scriptures, and it says, I will help you. Why don't we run quickly to God? He says, I will help you. I will help you. Oh, how many times in the Bible can we read the testimony? If their seats here this morning were filled with the saints of all the ages, they would rise up and say, yes, amen, and amen. He helped me. He helped. We know it ourselves. How many times has God helped us throughout the ages? Oh, maybe Peter would stand up. Maybe it would be Peter that would stand up and say, oh, I remember all the times that God helped me. But let me just tell you one. Let me tell you one. It's a good story. It's a testimony of God's help. He says, I didn't even know he was helping me. He says, I was asleep. You ever stop and think about that? You lay down your head at night and you put your head on that pillow and you go to sleep, and guess who doesn't sleep? And guess who doesn't slumber? And guess who is still working on behalf of you? And guess who is still working out the circumstances to bring about his help in your life? It's God. You text me and look for help, and guess what? I'll pray for you, and then I lay my head down and go to sleep. Right? That's the reality of it. You call someone else up and say, I need help. They say, okay, I'll be right over. God doesn't sleep and God doesn't slumber. Peter says, yeah. He says, I was asleep one night. He says, I wasn't in my bed. I wasn't in my home. I was in prison. And I was expecting the next day that quite possibly Herod might come and send one of his soldiers, and they might take me out of that prison. They might shackle me, take me out of that prison. They might take a sword and just slice my head off. He says, because that's what they just did to James. That's what Herod was wanting to do. And he says, I'm asleep. And all of a sudden I get this tap. This little tap. It's not the jailer. It's not the guards. It's the angel. It's the angel of the Lord. He says, Peter, wake up, wake up. Wake up, Peter. You got no time for sleeping. It's time to get out of here. And he wakes up. The angel leads him out. Prison door number one opens. Boy, I tell you what, if you've ever walked through the doors of a prison, you know the reality here. Door opens, door opens, door opens. Pretty soon he's standing on the street corner. Street corner, middle of the night. He'd just been in prison, in chains, asleep. The God who doesn't sleep sent the angel of the Lord down, says, open those doors, take his chains off, and walk him to the front door and let him stand in the street. And Peter says, I know my God helped me. I know my Lord delivered me. And he went down, and praise God, he went down to the houses where the church was praying, because that's what we ought to be doing. More than anything else, that's what we ought to be doing, folks. More than putting these little tweets on Facebook and Instagram and all these little fancy sayings, we should be on our knees before the throne of grace, praying for ourselves and praying one for another. Because Satan is battling. He's raging. He's seeking to destroy the churches. He's seeking to ruin the lives of Christians. And if we don't realize how much we need to get on our face and pray to God. And Peter says, but the Lord delivered me. And he went down to the house. And they were amazed. Man, they barely opened the door. They couldn't believe it themselves. And he says, the Lord helped me. And we're still not through. Number one, God says, I'm with you. Number two, I am your God. Number three, I will strengthen thee. Number four, I will help thee. Number five, I will uphold thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold thee. You know, it's on the Isle of Patmos many years later. Where there's a man, he's in the latter years of his life, probably 90 years old or something. A man that has walked with Jesus Christ. A man who is the one that the Bible says in John chapter 13, he's the one that Jesus Christ loved, John. The closest disciple to the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of all the disciples, the one that walked closest to the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who that night at the Last Supper put his head right there on the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's years later. Oh, the churches have started and the persecution has come. And men of God have been martyred for the faith. And he has been taken from his church at Ephesus for preaching the gospel. He is banished to an island called Patmos. And he's there all alone. Could very well be that at this point in his life, he's thinking, you know what? It's the end. It's over. I'm not going to get back to the mainland to preach. I'll never get a step foot in the church again. It's the end. The end of my life, the end of my ministry. And yet God said, nope, not quite the end yet, John. I've got much more for you. The Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And all of a sudden, he heard a voice, sound of a great trumpet. And he turned around to look, to see the voice, to see what it was. And you know who he saw? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. In Revelation chapter 1, it begins to describe the Lord. And it says his face, the brightness, the countenance of his face was as the brightness of the sun. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Fear not. Fear not, John. Oh, I know you're on the Isle of Patmos. I know you think it's the end of your life, but it isn't. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I was alive, I was dead, and I am alive right now." And he says, "Fear not. Fear not." Why? Because Jesus was telling him, "Listen, your life is not in the hands of men. Your life is in the hand of God." Folks, when we get that understanding, when we get that in our faith, that our life is not in our own hands, our life is not in the hands of any human being. Your life is upheld by the hand of Almighty God. And then he was like, "John, by the way, I want you to write a letter. I want you to write a letter to the churches. Seven churches. I want you to write a letter. I want you to write a letter." And he says, "I want you to let the churches know." In fact, he says, "I want you to let the pastors of the churches know." Well, I tell you what, every time I read Revelation chapter 1, every time I read chapter 1, and I think of those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I walk in the midst of the churches." My heart calms down, and the fears quickly go away. And every time I read in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus Christ says, "I hold in my hand the angels or the pastors of the churches," I'm so thankful because the Lord Jesus Christ that upheld every one of those saints of God throughout the pages of time says, "I'm holding you too." And he would tell John, he says, "I want you to write to these churches. I want you to write to the churches. I want you to write." And he says, "I want you to write to a church at Smyrna." He says, "I want you to write to a church at Smyrna that's, they're going through great persecution. And they're going to be persecuted for 10 days. And then by all accounts, they're going to die." And he says, "Here's what I want you to tell them. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful. Be faithful unto death. Fear not. Be faithful. John would write. And you know why we trust in God? You know why we have hope? Because at the end of that book, the Lord Jesus Christ says these beautiful words, "I come quickly. I come quickly." And so Isaiah writes, and he says, "Fear thou not. Fear thou not." He says, "Let me give you five reasons." God says, "Let me give you five reasons why you don't have to be afraid. Number one, I am with you. Number one, I am with you. Number two, I am your God. Number three, I will strengthen thee. Number four, I will help thee. Number five, I will uphold you." The other day I was at a funeral on Thursday. I had to do a funeral for a man. Dear saint of God that I knew from a long time ago.
in his 90s. I was standing in Jordan Cemetery in the cold there, and as I looked down at that casket, so many times we've brought a casket here into the church. Casket of a dear saint of God, someone that has sat in these pews, someone that has played the organ, someone that has preached from this pulpit, someone that has sat in these chairs. And in the frailty of their flesh, they have lived by faith just like you and me. We brought that casket down to the very front of the church. And there's been a body in that casket, and the casket has been closed. And we've quoted the scripture so many times. I've quoted that scripture. That while we look at that casket, and as I stood there Thursday afternoon in that cemetery, and I looked at that casket on the ground, I told those folks these words, that the Bible says it's only a body there. But that saint of God is absent from the body and present with the Lord. And they've seen the victory of faith. And how many people have sat in these pews? How many times has Pastor Hunt stood before this pulpit and preach those same words? Fear not. And if today it were possible, any one of those dear saints of God would stand up and say, listen, it's true. And I have seen the face of Jesus Christ, and it's true. And God says to us this morning, fear thou not. Fear thou not. Why? He says, because I am with you. Fear thou not, because I am your God. Fear thou not, because I will strengthen you. Fear thou not, because I will help you. Fear thou not, because I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Folks, the storms are coming. The storms are coming. And they will roll in like the sea. And they have the potential to overwhelm you and cause great fear. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, I pray that your word has been a strength, a comfort, a challenge, and encourage us to this morning. As Lord, we face the difficulties of life, the challenges, the trials, the torments, the troubles, the storms, Lord. May we trust in thee. May we rest in thee. May we look to thee, the author and finisher of our faith. And may our hearts rise up in song and say, I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my salvation. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.